CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Right, good morning, folks. Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. If you've tuned in this morning, join our conversation on Facebook and Twitter at Auto Trader SA, and remember to use our hashtag AutoCentral. In the studio today, Tepo and Chad. Gents, how's it going, boys?
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, I'm a little jealous.
Always?
Yeah, well, no, not always. I mean, for two reasons.
Can't always be jealous.
One, I missed that weekend out at the Motor Festival. Two, I saw this beautiful Ford RS parked outside, so you can imagine.
Yeah, we know Chad's driving the fancy car again, as it goes. But
you only notice when it's the fancy car. Like last week when I was sitting here in a Renault Captur, you were like, meh.
Where, what?
Exactly.
You didn't even notice it.
I think it was black and orange, and you didn't even notice it.
Nice color, though, I must say. But
I got a drive in it last week, and let me tell you now, that is a hot, hot, hot hatch.
Geez, thanks for the invite. Anyway, how was your weekend, T?
My weekend, Chana, was absolutely fantastic. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown from, and this is a personal opinion, all right? Or a personal experience. I didn't grow up as a kid in a household that was, you know, motor sport
orientated.
Yeah, all right.
So in short, your dad didn't have a car.
Yes, and he actually still rides a bike. I'm so sorry. Yeah. No, my dad always had a decent car.
Where did you grow up, Tom?
In Soweto.
1610, Chan. I'm from the Vale.
You're from the Vale. Okay, yeah. So Edenvale.
From Sebokeng, na nabo makatleho.
Well, Edenvale, Kensington, the East Rand.
Don't try and bump it up by saying Kensington.
No. Actually, which was Dower Glen, you know? Dower Glen. Yeah.
Your parents did not have a car.
No, they did.
Okay.
Yes, but my dad wasn't a petrol head. You know, on the weekends, he wasn't, you know, fixing and tweaking and doing things on his vehicle.
Because he didn't know it, or he didn't?
No, because he didn't know it. And he'll sit here today and he'll tell you that.
Actually strange because you talk like that. I only got into motorsport quite late on, despite the fact that my father was actually undercover petrol head.
Oh, really?
I see.
My father used to race.
Apple funny fair funny boom.
Yeah, but he used to race. But when I came around and I was about, let's say, 12, 13, just a bit younger, and I started noticing cars and that and started asking questions, then it slowly, my dad's knowledge slowly started creeping out. But as a youngster, we weren't at races. He wasn't buying and selling cars. He wasn't building up cars. He wasn't going out racing.
Yeah.
He had just shut all of that out. That was like a past life for him, and he was now just family dad.
Yeah.
You know,
when you say it was a past life, are you saying before he got married, he was into
before
that?
He had us. Before he had us. You know, in the 70s, he was racing, and he raced open wheel, and he raced.
And you were somewhere in some fruit waiting to be manufactured by
him. Yeah, no, I was still the twinkle in the eye then.
Yeah.
And only later on did we start finding out. But Dad's got a racing history, and that started coming out.
But that's hence where you get your passion from.
It does, but it shows you that it doesn't always mean that if there is something in the family that it's going to be carried over to the youngsters.
Exactly.
I mean, we weren't. I think maybe he knew the dangers, not the dangers of it, but the pitfalls and the costs involved. And
that's why he steered away.
I'm going to teach you to, I don't know, kick a rugby ball or something of the sorts.
I don't know, but costs then were not an issue. I mean,
everything's relative. But
racing
even back
still
in the
costs
day was
the same now as what it did back then. It takes every single cent you've got.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's your passion, I mean, why not?
So anyway, let me get back to my story. So I didn't grow up in this like petrol head, motorsport orientated family.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with motorsports on the weekend.
This past weekend.
I can tell you now, I've been a cricket and rugby fanatic my entire life. I love sports. I can go mad watching a rugby game. I got just as excited watching the awesome, I cannot explain this.
I mean, it was just
freaking brilliant, you know? I fell in love with motorsports this weekend. The funny thing is I married into a family who love motorsports.
Hmm.
And I now understand where that passion comes from and the love of motorsports. And I'm still not a car person, but by God, when those V8s come racing past you, you get that feeling, man. You get excited and you're watching cars come around corners at speeds that are...
You go bazonkers, bro.
Exactly. Cars spinning out, crashes. It's exciting. It really, really is exciting. And I must say, hats off to you, Kyle Lamy. I think they hosted a fantastic event.
Was it a brilliant event?
It was amazing. I'm a little bit disappointed in terms of the turnout from the crowds. I think the event could have been...
I wasn't there, bro.
Yeah, that's also right. Yeah. I think the crowds could have come out a little bit more, but I can tell you now, if that is a taste of what is to come from motorsports in this country,
then we better
anyone who didn't go, you missed a shit hot weekend. That's all I can say. It really was spectacular. And then to cap it all off, I mean, we spent the whole day, pretty much the whole afternoon there yesterday, and I was there the whole day Saturday when the I don't even know what they were. They were just.
So you were there Saturday and Sunday.
I was there Saturday. Yeah, Saturday we hosted some of our dealers, which was fantastic. And just a big shout out to all the guys that did join us and the ladies that joined us on Saturday. It was fantastic to have you there, and thanks for coming out. So Saturday we were entertaining guests, and we were there pretty much the whole day. And it was really, really cool. But yesterday was the big day because they were racing. Yesterday the Oaks were all out. The celebrities were racing. Jack Parrow beat John Smith and the likes of North.
Jack Parrow, was he wearing that long hat?
I couldn't check. I couldn't check inside his cab. He had a helmet on, but I didn't see the peak popping through the...
It doubles up as a sun visor as well.
It could have done that. But it really, really was awesome. So I'm glad I experienced motorsport properly for the first time. I can tell you now that any races going forward at Kyle Lamy, I'm going to be there. It really is cool. And my kids, man, my kids loved it. You know, watching these fast cars flying up and down, you know, it really, really just was exciting.
If I may ask, and it's not too personal for our show and that, what age are your youngsters?
I've got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Okay, so that they're at a good comprehension age and they can understand what is fast and what is cars and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And was it the sort of environment that you think you'd be comfortable taking them back to and something that you'd possibly nurture?
Completely. Completely.
So it was a nice family environment that they've created there.
It really, really was. I mean, you know, if you drove around the track, so the main grandstand wasn't really packed to the rafters, you know, it wasn't full up, but there were families on the grandstands. But when you drove around the track, we got to do a lap during the parade in our Auto Trader fleet vehicles, the colorful ones. And we were driving and we were hooting, and the number of people that had set up gazebos and bras, and they had their cooler boxes and they were waving back at us. We were driving around hooting. It really, really was spectacular, and it was good to see South Africans come out and support the motorsport. Yeah, you missed it. I had tickets for you. You told me I was sorry. Event.
Each job, as well.
But I can tell you now, so Chair, just explain this. When the guys come down the mine shaft, they go through quite a big left turn at the bottom, and then they kind of sweep, and then there's a big...
That left turn is what's known as the mine shaft. The mine shaft.
Yes,
bend.
Okay. And then they go...
Why is it called mine shaft? Because it descends, like it goes
it
like...
It drops. It drops. It's quite a steep gradient. You don't realize until you've actually driven around Kyle Lamy, or actually tried to walk around Kyle Lamy, I think, the amount of elevation change. It's built on a hillside. And to come down from what is West Bank, which is the highest point of the track,
right
at the top, to what is almost the lowest point. Actually, it's about midway, that corner down at the bottom.
Yeah.
They've got new names. So it used to be West Bank at the top, Mine Shaft, and then the Bowl. And I think they've called that one now Cheetahs.
I'm not sure.
Or something of the sorts down. It's basically the Bowl, but that right-hander. And that's a very, very exciting place to watch motorsport from.
But then when you're coming, you come down towards where the pit lane is, where you'd enter the pits on the left, and there's that sweeping was a big, there's a sharp left there.
Yeah, that's now called Ingwe.
Ingwe. To watch the motorbikes come down around that corner and then full throttle it down the main straight.
Oh.
I haven't seen speed like that. And I cannot wait until MotoGP comes back to South Africa. I can tell you now, I'll be the first oak in the queue, just like I was back in the day waiting to get into Italian Club. First oak with my 5 rand ready to party. Yeah,
there's a 16-10.
There's a 16-10. There we go. But it really was a great event, and thanks to Kyle Lamy for hosting us, and it really, really was great. And yeah, if you weren't there, you missed out.
You know what Kyle Lamy means, right? It's a Zulu word for my home.
My home.
Kyle home.
Kyle Lamy.
Yeah, Lamy. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
It's like La Viuami.
But originally they spelled it wrong, correct?
Yeah.
Spelled
it
incorrectly. Yeah.
Yes. So how was it spelled?
It's
with an A. K-A-Y-A.
It's actually
K-Y-A. K-H-A. Isn't
yeah, it? That's a proper Zulu.
Yeah.
K-H-Y-A.
Yeah.
Kaya.
For but Kaya.
Then, yeah, but it all sounds the same, man.
Yeah, it's phonetically it's the same, but it was incorrectly done all those years back.
So
there was actually a big thing. Sorry, there was a that exploded on the Kyalami residents Facebook group. And of course, being in the involved with motor petrol heads and that, and linked to them socially, they were just flooding this this group. All the petrol heads basically descended on this group. This woman sat there and said, "Is anybody else disturbed by the noise of the cars going round?" And everybody climbed in there and said, "You move within range of a racetrack. That racetrack was there before you were.
Yeah.
Lighten up. It's not going on until 10 o'clock.
It's like buying a house in a complex that's next door to a shopping center that's got a pub or a nightclub, and then you complain about the noise.
Yeah.
After, yeah.
Don't be a fool.
Actually, it's just called attention-seeking syndrome.
No, she got shame. I feel for her, though, because she came on there and she was naively sort of just pitching it to the members of this group.
Yeah.
And they came in and they all basically defended the racetrack. Like, that's the reason why we live here, is because of what is essentially what should be a heritage site. It may have been dormant for a couple of months, but we live for that. And to hear those sounds just brings back such great memories.
Sounds,
and they were just supporting us, and they were like, it's so fantastic that the track is still around. And brilliant, 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 the way that everybody just rallied together. Shame, this poor woman felt so bad. She had one or two sort of supporters there saying, yes, no, this is ridiculous. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. I can hear it, and I'm 10 kilometers away. Tough. It's motorsport, and it doesn't happen every day of the week. If it's it's a club or a bar or a shebeen or something that's going on until who knows what time of the morning and keeping you out of sleep instead of just waking you up a little earlier.
Look, because these events are pre-planned, she must actually go on holiday.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Yes. She'll know if she just pays attention to the street signs around her, because naturally in and around the racetrack, they're going to post the boards and the posters and the likes. So,
I mean, who doesn't want to listen to that anyway? Even if you are Brian or trying to have a sleep on a Sunday afternoon.
She was like, no, but they're starting at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, that's what time races start.
That's the thing.
And it's guys.
Yeah.
Please,
I must tell you,
I understand. She sounds single.
I understand her point of view.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Look, it's not every day. So, I mean, it's cool.
But you know what?
They've got a certain amount of noise days that they're
I'll tell you what.
Maybe she must be invited to the gig. That's because she wasn't.
That is.
Absolutely.
She must be invited.
And you know, some of the people said that. Why don't you grab the family, grab the kids, and go around to the track and see what it's all about?
Yeah. Okay, even if you were cheap, you could have parked on the road outside Kyalami. You still get a great viewpoint of the main straight.
Get
and
some
that
binoculars.
Big left at the bottom of that. You don't even need binoculars. But the cars are out there, so you didn't even have to pay to get in. But, you know, it really was good.
Let's try and get hold of her for the next one, then Auto Center will invite her through
to that. Well, if she tweets us or something, then we can.
Oh, she's all over
so
Facebook.
So the old lady in Kyalami, please let us know who you are.
She seemed like a fairly young, upcoming.
Did you just call her old lady?
Upcoming. She seemed like possibly a young mom, something just up and coming.
Oh, that's another thing. Probably baby's trying to get to sleep. And
I don't know.
Not. We could harp on about that all day, but anyway.
I wasn't.
You know what was an eye-opener, though?
Tell me.
Is going into the pits. You watch Formula One. You watch MotoGP. You see these young, lean racing car drivers, motorbike riders. They are at the top of their game. They are athletes.
These fine specimens.
But when I walked into the pits.
Like, bro, did you just say lean? Like, what's wrong with you? You're right, bro.
Well, they were lean. No, because they're not built. They're not big, bulky guys.
Yeah. No,
let me tell you now.
Lean.
There were some big, bulky guys in the pits yesterday afternoon. Like I said to Gareth, a bit of a mullet convention happening downstairs. I checked a couple of brandies down there. But you know what? That's motorsport, and it makes it what it is. And it really, really was entertaining. There were guys there, like grease monkey to the max. Oaks getting dirty. That smell of petrol. There was even a car that caught on fire underneath the VIP. Actually, we just saw this plume of black smoke. And typical South Africa, the Kyalami is so jacked. The alarms went off.
Cheers,
the announcement came over. Please evacuate. Please evacuate. And you can check all the South Africans in the VIP area that were entertained, like stuff that I'm going to finish my glass of wine or my beer, whatever. No, they'll put that shit out. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll just carry on regardless.
Just another day at Fitz.
Exactly. No, they just carried on. But I can tell you now, we were peering over, looking down on the pit lane. And I can the number of guys from other teams, different racing units, picked up extinguishers and they ran to their car. And you can see,
that's the
brotherhood. I think, and
there's safety measures in place.
Exactly.
Every pit has to have a fire extinguisher. Sometimes they have to have two.
Yeah,
you know, front and back of the depending on where it's parked or whatever, and the rules and regulations. But that's the thing. At the end of the day, nobody, whether you're my fiercest competitor, yes, I don't want to see your car.
No, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Because it could be you. When we're out on the track, we're boxing.
Yes.
We might not even see eye to eye off the track.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see your car burn because that is just a cock thing to do.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. The lights have just gone out. It's actually quite spooky, T.
You look much better in the dark. Huh? All I can check is your smile.
T, you spoke about lean guys. Now you say I look better in the dark. Are you right?
Yeah, I'm fine, my man. I'm fine.
Like, yeah, somebody flipped the switch and we were like all in the dark.
That's quite spooky now.
Can you take a picture quickly and we'll put it out. We'll put it out on Instagram. We'll send it to the team and try and get a selfie. Here.
No flash, though. Why do we all keep quiet
when we take pictures? Like, I can never understand this.
No, I actually don't know. Oh, because you got to smile for the camera and you can't smile and talk at the same time.
That's like old cameras. Of course you can. You can smile while you talk.
Anyway, listen, we digress. Guys, something that is quite prevalent. We're at the end of October. We're going into November. We're going into December. This is we know what's coming. Ish. We know that work Christmas parties are coming. This is not called the silly season for any, you know, other reason than guys go crazy, and it's coming off of the how of the of Car Alarmy, but I think what I'm about to play, and it's a four minute clip, so it's not too long, but it just really, if there's one message I want to drive home, and that is, please guys, stop using your cell phones in the vehicle, in a car. It is not worth it. And just take a listen to this.
So is this right? I just confess that I text and drive.
So they ask him, what are your reasons for using the phone while you drive?
If I get a text, I look at my phone.
It's definitely texting.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Snapchat. I do Snapchat and drive sometimes.
Is that like making Snapchats or watching them?
What, making them?
A, texting is like my main form of communication.
Boredom, honestly.
And B, well, no, I guess no, it's really just A.
I've only never done it at stoplights. I've always been really good about it.
The passenger has a pretty important role driving now, or they're like, oh, red light.
If someone that you like texts you, you're like, you can't just like let it sit there without just knowing what they said.
Because what if something exciting's happening or something happened?
Like, every time I do it, I think about it. I'm like, why am I doing this? And then I just keep doing it.
So I'd like to, like, want to introduce you to a friend of ours.
My name's JC.
Hi, Alexis.
Hi, Dash.
Justin, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I just really quickly want to have a chat, tell you what happened to me. When I was 21 years old, driving home from my college graduation ceremony, driver on his phone was so distracted. He turned left into the intersection at a red light. Another car, an 18-wheeler, swerved to miss him and hit my family's car. And the resulting collision actually killed both of my parents.
Yep.
I spent 2 months in the hospital fighting for my own life, and then 2 more months in a rehab hospital, learning how to walk again, learning how to speak again, learning how to dress myself and how to feed myself. I live with a partially paralyzed body. I didn't have my daddy to walk me down the aisle when I got married.
Having sort of like met JC, because you look at JC and sort of give those same reasons.
Usually I use my phone to change a song on. I try to use it as little as possible, but
I'm not gonna look at my phone ever again.
Honestly, if I have been sitting at a red light, I'll like glance down to see if my mom's texting me, but the people's lives that are impacted from something that is so stupid.
I can assure you on my drive home right now, I'm not going to use my phone and drive. And I'm not gonna do it when I go to work tomorrow and the next day after that until, you know, it becomes a habit and that just doesn't happen at all.
I know this is hard, and I'm sorry, it's hard for me too, but you know this is real. You have the power to really actually make a difference and do something about it.
Yeah, so a bit of a sobering clip there, you know, and it's so real and it's so true, and I see it every single day driving home from the office and driving to work in the mornings, and we all see it. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't done it.
I'd be remiss if I had to say, and I'd be incorrect, I'd be lying if I said that I haven't done it.
We do do it, and we think that we're capable of concentrating on the phone and the road at the same time, and it's bullshit. Yeah. And we shouldn't be doing it because it can. It takes that 2 to 3 split seconds, and you can not only ruin your life, but somebody else's life who was following the rules of the road. So I think this December, this November, from now on, just when you're in the car, put your phone in your cubbyhole for half an hour. You know, and if you're going on a long trip and you want to check your phone, pull over on the side of the road and check it then.
No, I don't think there's very little that is that important that it deserves to pull your attention
away. That can't
away,
wait.
That, anything that can't yeah, wait. That can't in wait. Short, it can wait.
Yeah.
It Look, can. Hey, either it waits or you die. Yeah.
Now, there was another...
That's
a powerful video. There's not too much to see there with regards to the people interaction. You just need to hear that story. But there was a fantastic production put together, an experiment that was put together. And I believe it was Hong Kong-based or something of the sorts. It was a video that we did the rounds a little while ago where they got basically a cinema full of, viewers, people just attending the cinema going to watch a film. And in the intro previews and the trailers and that, they ran an experiment. And they played a video of just this car. You were sitting inside the car, of just this car driving along the road. And then they sent out a mass text to all the moviegoers so that their phones went off in the cinema.
Yeah.
And as they looked down at that same time, they put the imagery of an accident or the car having an accident in front of them. And they came back and said, did you see that happen? You didn't because you were looking down at your phone.
Split second.
And I mean, that was fantastically done. And that just showed how quick it happened.
Yeah.
And it was like a realistic sort of just a vehicle pulling out from the side. Somebody that's also not paying attention. Somebody that's avoiding something. An animal, a pedestrian. Pedestrians, kids. Youngsters don't have the same sort of logic and processing, situational awareness that adults
we're supposed
have.
To have.
And you've got to be responsible for them.
But not only that, like another stat now, and there is an article online, but do you know that the AA conducted a piece of research in South Africa and found that less than 7% of children who by law are deemed to require the use of a seatbelt actually use them.
Yeah.
That's 93% of children driving in cars in this country are not strapped in or in a car chair.
T, this guy nearly, I don't know, called me by my grandparents' whatever private parts. He had his son standing in the front seat, leaning on the dash.
On the dash.
With the window open. He was on his cell phone.
Oh, no, man.
And when I hooted, and he looked at me and said, listen, is this your son? He says, he said, yeah. I'm like, do you love him? He says, what kind of stupid question is
that? So why is he not strapped in?
If your son flies out that window,
you
will regret for the rest of your life.
And then he probably gets cross with you.
He did. That's
but
what I'm saying.
But you know what? It's because you've hit the nail.
Yes, see, bro.
You know, on its head.
Your own child.
Yeah.
And the other girl said, no, but my child is screaming. I'm like, hey, look, do you want to scream for the rest of your life, crying for your dead baby?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Eventually, they get used to it.
Yeah.
You know? Kids that cry because you put them in a car seat, I'd rather
they
have
them crying.
Of course, they get used to it, and then eventually they know, okay, cool, this is where I belong in the vehicle.
But I mean, that boy wasn't strapped in because the father was also not strapped in.
Yeah, but that's what you see. 9 times out of 10, if the kid's not strapped in, the mom and dad aren't strapped in either.
Remember that old ad where this pumpkin went flying through the window?
Yes, I do remember that.
They must actually bring that ad back.
That was very, very effective.
It was a road safety advert, wasn't it?
It was.
Back in the day, I think, or something like that, or the road.
Yeah, it was some campaign of some sort.
Or RTA or something of the sorts, road traffic.
I mean, just this morning, I heard on the radio apparently there was a white Polo branded with no number plates. The driver was waving a firearm to other drivers on the highway.
No, I mean, come on, that's like, just nutty.
I mean, already it's the beginning of this madness that we're about to see.
Exactly.
So I think for other drivers, even if someone does something stupid in front of you, just let it go.
Yeah, don't take the law into your own hand. Just let it be.
Because you might be carrying a firearm.
Exactly.
You know, and then they take out their frustration on you when you are trying to correct them.
Yeah.
Well, anybody that's interested, I've actually just shared that cinema one. If they want to take it. I've just shared that on Twitter. You can just go for the hashtag AutoCentral, and you'll be able to find it there. While I'm sitting here, I'm looking for that. Something else has popped up as well. So when we're done here, I'm going to change the tone a little bit.
Okay. Well, let's change it up now. So what we're saying is that as AutoCentral, we're not even asking. We are telling you. You will not use your phone. Just stop it. You know what? I think we should almost create stickers that we can dish out that says
stop it.
I refuse to use my phone while I drive.
Stop it.
Kind of like the
it can wait.
And your life can't.
That's all.
It can wait. All right, Chad. What else? What else you got?
Okay, so it's just dropped today.
Yes.
You know Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Neil Blomkamp. Would you like? Have you worked with Neil?
No.
Would you like to?
Of course.
Of course. I mean, come on. We're talking about Elysium, District 9, Chappie. You know, the man's. there's talk of an alien reboot, okay? South African born director that's now making it big. Granted, he's working out of Canada now, I believe, but fantastic things. He's a really, really respected director now.
Yes.
A little while ago, there was I want to say it was 2002. I can put it down to the year. 2002. So let's go back 14 years. The internet, sort of making it. I mean, used to sit there and have to wait for this. Dial-up maneuver, 56K dial-up. I remember the days. The struggle was real, brother. The struggle was real. There was no such thing as, like, downloading videos. That took days.
Yeah.
And BMW released a series of online videos that were created, short films, that were released by...
Not that why are you calling?
No. No.
Yes! There we go. Lekker. All right. For the plebs in 2002, this is nowadays, what it sounded like.
This sound was real, people.
Hey?
Nowadays, when that happens, you know somebody's tapping into your phone and listening to your conversation. Jeez, dude.
Sorry.
And then coming from the other side of the room.
Hey, I'm getting off the computer. I'm waiting for a phone call.
Because there's only one line and you can't use it and phone at the same time.
Oh, my word.
Any case. Yes. But BMW released a series of short films with great directors behind it. We're talking about John Woo's, who do we have? Guy Ritchie, Frank.
No idea.
Any case. Hollywood directors that pieced together these short films that used BMW vehicles.
Okay.
Had Clive Owen in it.
Yeah.
And played a fantastic role as the hire. And he was a driver in a car for hire. So basically like a transporter sort of vibe.
Yeah.
There is a reboot and the Neil Blomkamp one has just dropped today.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Anonymous Content and Jessel Productions. And they've got a film called The Escape.
Yeah,
I'm gonna share
already
it.
Already that sounds...
All right, by Neil Blomkamp using BMWs. They were fantastic. This really, probably one of the first videos that got me wanting to make videos about cars was BMW The Hire. I was never a big BMW fan, but I could respect what they were doing and how they were telling a story with a car. So I'm going to share it now. I'm going to share it now on my Twitter. That's at Chad Lookoff. But you can go and take a look at it because I am going to hashtag it with Auto Central.
The Escape.
Yeah, and go and take a look for it because... Oof, it should be pretty good. I haven't had a chance to take a look at it just yet.
I think maybe that's how cars grow, like space in your heart when they're presented to you in a story.
Yes.
You know, like
but
your bond.
Anything,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think anything that is handed over in with a story behind it.
Yeah.
When you understand where it comes from and the meaning in it and all that kind of stuff. I hear you, bud. That's very deep. I hear you. Somebody. On that note, we're going to go to an ad break. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the fancy cars that Chad gets to drive.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize ride,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, genka, ghetto cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, puzzle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Right, and we're back. Some nights fun. Great tune, that. Great tune. Right, guys, time to talk car news and reviews. And this week, Chad, I know you busy driving around in the Focus RS, which I must say is looks like...
looks mean, hey?
Yeah, a lot of fun, I think.
Well, okay, let's give you the summary on that one and just my brief thoughts on that.
Yeah, because we're actually talking VW Tiguan.
Yeah, we're
today.
Talking about the VW Tiguan, but just what I'm currently driving, it is the Focus RS. Straight off the bat, comes in at 700,000 Rand, you know, which is pricey for a hatch. Very pricey, but it does perform. It really does perform really, really well. The thing is, it gets a lot of criticism because it's not trimmed, according to 700,000 Rand, and it doesn't look on the outside as flash as what 700,000 Rand would suggest. But I still believe that it is justifiable for the engineering that's gone into it and the way that the car performs in terms of turning and handling.
Yeah.
Not all about straight line speed, stopping, turning, fantastic, great chassis, and the all-wheel drive system.
It's a bit longer as well, or does it
look
longer?
No, it just looks longer. It's just because it's white.
And fantastic off the line.
Yeah, no, it's very good off the line. So, I mean, it's got launch control on it. It's got that drift mode. And yes, drift mode does work. Yeah. And on launch, we got to try...
Manual?
Yes, manual. Only manual.
Yes,
they don't offer it in an automatic or a dual clutch
setup.
We
need to play, man.
And you know what? In the name of safety, and just got running back to that texting thing that we were talking about, and I've said this for a while, and I just want to run with that, keep this thing going here.
Going, yeah.
In the name of safety... Remember how I was saying with the BMW 7 Series?
Yes.
That it does, you've got that guided cruise control and the lane assist and that, and it was just making you so complacent. Because the car's doing so much and you know that, well, if the car in front of me stops, this car's going to stop.
So you switch off.
You get distracted. Yeah. And your mind starts to wander.
Yeah, you drift. Yeah.
And the first place that it drifts to?
Your phone.
Your phone. And that's why I saw a little piece as well, how to be a better driver.
Yep.
Things like anticipate situations, make sure your car
put your phone
is
in the boot
serviced, avoid distractions. One of them was drive a manual car.
Yeah.
Because you actually got to concentrate on what
you're that much involved.
You're in a different mindset of having to select gears and constantly working with the vehicle, that you're not just sitting there more passenger.
Yes.
And I do believe that that does make a better driver. Is if you're driving a manual car, it's not to say anything about your skill, it's just going to make you a more alert driver.
That's true.
Yeah.
When you're driving
while
a manual.
While enjoying your car in manual.
Absolutely, while enjoying it. Yes, it's sometimes a little bit of a pain in traffic or something of the sort, but trust me, it's... If you want to be that responsible person, look at the manual option.
Yeah.
Really, I'm going to advocate it.
I agree with you.
It really is great.
Yeah.
So, fantastic car, but it drinks juice like the space shuttle.
May suck as no leech. What do you get for a full tank?
In the region of about 285 kilometers.
What?
Yeah. And we can hear the crickets in the distance.
Crickets.
No ways, bruh. Because I did 578 Ks and I'm on quarter empty. That's to my freaking and back.
So three-quarter tank, yeah.
And what full tank you get? What?
285. 50-kilometer trip. Drove out to the East Rand and back.
That's
half
insane,
a tank. Quarter tank there, quarter tank back. And that wasn't even pushing it.
What?
No, pushing it, you're going to blast through that tank. Ridiculous. It is doors.
Well, that's what you know.
But listen. That's not a Monday to Friday. I mean, that's a toy, really.
That's a weekend
that's your,
car.
If
it really
you've
is
got an extra
car.
Couple of, I mean,
yeah. What happens if I want to play Erday, bro?
Huh?
If I want to play Erday, if I want to play Erday every day,
playing Erday comes Erday. At a price.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's
you better
a problem
make it
right
rain. Make it rain.
A friend of mine a couple of years ago, when he just bought an SRT8, I said to him, "Geez, and the juice is just happening." When you buy cars like this, you don't ask about petrol.
No.
Clearly you can afford
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And there is a little bit of a gap there. And people aspire, and sadly South Africans do, and they end up putting themselves into that credit hole that is difficult to get out of, where they're going to stretch just beyond their means.
Just so they can
play. You know, so they sit there and they status, you know.
Ish.
So the guy wants to, you know, he's going to live in a little 1,500 Rand a month rent flat and that, but he's going to drive a Golf 7 GTI. How many guys do you know like that?
Stop it!
How many guys? I know guys like that. living with mom and dad, but I've got a GTR 7 in, or Golf R in the drive.
We went to look at a house last week. It was we just browsing and seeing what's out there. Like these two bedroom complexes, rents probably about 7,500-8,000 rand a month. Drive past, there was a Porsche Cayenne.
You are joking!
It wasn't the C63. Anyway, some fancy Mercedes Benz. And I was just like, what the hell?
It's endless. I mean, what do you pay for a Cayenne? Maybe at like 9-10 grand a month?
Yeah, if not more. Crazy.
You'd be better off
sleeping in the back of the Cayenne, you know?
I hope he's not sleeping. I mean, his house repayment is 7 grand and his car was 12 grand.
Nah, it's crazy.
I'm like, stop. No, that's stupid, but there's nothing crazy about it. It's just downright stupid.
Anyway, let's get into the car that we want to talk about this morning. And this was on display at the SA Festival of Motoring. West Bank Car of the Year finalist. And it is the new VW Tiguan.
Yes, the Tiguan. The video is going to be dropping soon. I can't promise that it's going to be today. But the video should be dropping soon. And I tell you what, start off the bat, I have never really been a big VW fan. Okay. They've never really spoken to me, communicated with me.
Sure. You drove the Club Sport that time.
The Club Sport was one of those that made me sit there and say, I have to be honest with myself and say, this is a good car.
Yeah.
And I think currently VW are making some cracking vehicles, mm-hmm. and they're starting to get their pricing right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay?
Because there was a patch where I couldn't justify the money for the amount of car that you were getting.
Yeah.
I could justify it on an Audi because there was a slight difference in the build quality.
Yeah.
I'm talking 10 years ago or so, you know. So we're talking Golf 5.
Yeah.
Golf 5 GTI, you know, A3s, S3s, and there was a slight difference in the build quality, and you could really pick it up. At the time, I don't want to say that they were behind, but I just couldn't justify it.
Yeah.
And as a result, I was just, it seemed too common, and I always wanted to be a little bit different, and I didn't see what all the hype was about.
Yeah.
Now, yes, I can really say that they are coming to the party and they're producing some fantastic, fantastic vehicles. The Club Sport was the first one that I walked away from saying, if it was my money, I would drop it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. But this Tiguan is absolutely beautiful.
The Tiguan is the second one.
Yes, it's lovely. Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, that's a good looking car.
Yeah.
And it is. It is such a stunning car. I mean, we sit here in the year 2016 now, and we all thought that these cars would be so rounded and bubbled, and Back to the Future had us thinking. And by the way, last week, Thursday, I think it was International Back to the Future Day, 21st of October.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's the date they go to. Never mind. But, Marty, you know, all these futuristic films, and they'd had us thinking that the cars were going to be flying and bubbles and so rounded. And here it comes with these striking lines and the hard lines of this Tiguan. And it's just so beautiful in this world of rounded shapes that it actually stands out. And I think it's going to age really, really well. Hmm. The proportions are spot on. It's a little bit bigger than the older Tiguan. But it doesn't look it because of the straight lines. The older Tiguan, the previous generation, first generation Tiguan, was a little more rounded.
Yeah.
So it had that Touareg sort of look to it, and it seemed almost overinflated. You know, it just had that slightly blown out, slightly bloated look to it. This one looks like it's cut. You know, like a bodybuilder that has been sitting there and he's been
like
training
a chiseled
before.
Boxer.
Jeez, here we go.
Hey, there we go.
A lean chiseled boxer.
No, it really does.
Like a fine specimen.
It really, really is a nice looking car. It's
cracking vehicle. And the level of trim inside as well, as you know, I'm big on the interior. While it's a very familiar VW interior, fantastic layout, great ergonomics. It's something that they have been working on. And yes, seat adjustment considerably better. So the driving position is a lot better. Great visibility. It's a crossover. So it is a bridge between coming from a hatchback, whether you've been driving a Golf or something smaller, even if you haven't been with the brand Corsa, something of the sorts, and you're now sort of growing up a little bit and you're now needing to get a slightly bigger vehicle, but you're not quite ready for that SUV hop because an SUV can be intimidating. You've only ever driven small cars. This is that in-betweener.
Yeah.
And a lot of manufacturers have
got
that in-betweener.
So what do they call it, sedan or what? What is it?
No, it is. I don't think it's an SUV, isn't it?
They call it a crossover or a compact SUV.
Ah, okay.
Okay. A crossover, yes, by definition, doesn't really mean anything. It's a bridge between one thing and another. Mm. So this is a bridge between a hatchback and a full size SUV. Yeah. You know, so it's a crossover. So it's still a big ish vehicle, but it's not difficult to drive and it's not difficult to live with. Mm. If you've only ever driven a hatchback, you can
transition into this is quite easy then.
Yes, it's quite easy. Yeah. It's not as drastic a jump as if hopping into a Touareg or an X5 or a Q7 or something of the sort. Yeah. You know, those are really big vehicles and they can be very intimidating when it comes to parking it, navigating parking lots, positioning it on the road, anything. Complexes. Oh, absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
This makes it a lot easier. But the seating position, you can now screw it down to the lowest setting and you've got that sort of, okay, this is the height that I'm used to seeing all the other cars and road signs and traffic at. And you can just gradually bump it up to almost a full SUV height where you're sitting quite high and you're like, wow, this is a nice, what they call a command driving position.
Yeah, well, I'm bigger and better than you, you know, you look down on the guy next to you.
And that's the reason why. That's the reason why South Africans buy SUVs over estates and the likes is we like that sense of superiority and we like that ability to see a little further down the road by sitting a little higher.
And you need something that you can fend the taxis off with, you know, just in case. Like,
South Africans as a whole have got a major inferiority complex.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do. We sit there and we don't think squat of ourselves. Thanks to many of our national sports teams, it's pretty accurate at this current point in time. You know, a bunch of chokers all around.
Yeah.
Well, except
hang on a sec. The cricketers are doing very well. Yeah. I mean, they just clipped the Aussies 5 duck, and now we're going to go over there and smash them again.
Yeah. Really? That's the first time in how long?
It's been a while.
And Ben,
we'll talk about that in the bounce show.
Look, I'm going to go back to like 99 World Cup. Alan Donald dropping his bat.
No.
Semi-final.
So listen, the Tiguan has got, it's two engine derivatives.
Two engine derivatives, but you've got a couple of different power outputs.
Four options.
Yeah. So we were in the relatively small one, the 1.4 TSI Comfort Line. But that's the one with the smaller, 92 kilowatt, because you get it in a 92 kilowatt and 110 kilowatts.
It was for quite a big car.
It is a bit of a small motor. My one criticism of the car is that it needs more motor.
So is there a bit of lag when you want to go, or
it's not lag as such. The motor's responsive, but there just isn't the meat and potatoes in it, you know, to really get you going. You can still drive it. The suspension's fantastic. It responds well. The steering feels amazing in your hands. It really does. It's electric power steering.
Is better, hydraulic?
I'm actually on the site at the moment, looking at the pricing and the options and all that kind of stuff. And my eye keeps going back to the smokers package that you can put in these cars for 350 rand.
And you know what
the smokers? What?
It's called the smokers package on the extra options for 350 bucks. What do you get? An ashtray and a lighter?
You do pretty much.
Smokers
instead
package.
Of just having
2016,
output.
You can get a smokers package for 350.
It's actually very big in Asia, believe it or not. Show me one Asian guy that you've met
that doesn't smoke.
It's a level of stress, bro.
Level of stress. it's the way that they stay busy. It's a status and cultural thing as well.
Yeah.
It shows that you're affluent.
Look, smoking pipe or some cigar, then you're talking status. Normal cigarette.
But listen, there's an arm-long list of options and extras. I mean, if you took the car that the 1.4 TSR Comfort Line now, you could easily drop another 100K.
To fully spec it, it's going to be about another additional 100,000 rand. But this is the thing that I was saying. This is a great car. It's like, I'm just wrapping up. It's beautifully trimmed. It's drives well. Yes, it's a little underpowered, this one. If you take it with the R-Line body package, which you need to do, because then it's just so much better and the bigger wheels in there.
Okay.
It really looks stunning. We had it with the R-Line package.
Okay.
The ordinary one doesn't look bad, but the R-Line just looks that much better. It's worth, for 18,000 rand, spend that money.
And Chad, interior? Sorry, I don't know if I cut you off. Yeah.
No, brilliantly, brilliantly trimmed. It's well laid out. Like I say, ergonomically, the trim and the level of trim is just very, very high standard.
And the spacing, because on
heated,
stowaway type of compartments. I know VW is quite big.
Pretty good. Not brilliant, you know, not like full SUV. I actually didn't even check for that, believe it or not. I'm not one of those. I've got a handful of everyday carry things, but
Chad hasn't got kids yet, so he doesn't know about all the other bits and bobs that you have to hide and carry and wet wipes and all that.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff.
All those cool things.
You know what the thing is? You only realize that sort of stuff when you're eventually cleaning a car and you're trying to figure out where that smell comes from because your toddler has rammed something in a cubby hole that you didn't know existed.
Exactly. The radar doesn't work and you don't know why, and then you take it to your VW and they fix it and they actually give you 35 rand in 5 rand coins. Like, they're like, yeah, thanks for taking this. This is why your CD player didn't work, you know?
Yeah.
And the lighty sits there with a big grin on his face like, I didn't know they didn't go there.
It was a
money box there.
Yeah, a money box. Yeah. Piggy bank.
So does it come standard with what? Panoramic roof? No?
Panoramic roof's option. You know,
that's 11 grand extra.
Dyno Audio is an option. There's a handful of optional extras and that naturally come with it, but the standard fare for the VW stuff. But the pricing starts out at 437,000 rand.
Which is very good.
Very, very good. And this is a fantastic all-rounder car. Great. Okay. All-rounder, it's not going to go and do track times. But for living with, for being able to take it a bit off-road, for being able to run in traffic, this is the DSG gearbox.
It's a perfect vehicle. Young family, go on a nice long holiday, like driving from Joburg to Bloem and then down to Cape Town. This is a...
And for that motor, I assume it's pretty fuel efficient.
Yeah, it was actually nice. It was at a nice balance.
Although, Chad, I mean, I don't know if the motor is small, won't that require more fuel? Because it means the engine works harder.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I mean, it's a well known fact that the bigger the motor, depending on the sort of the type of motor and the state of tune, you can use less fuel with a bigger motor. It's less laborious for it to get up to a speed.
I think it's more about just maintaining a speed.
No, not really. I mean, if you're on an incline, say you're taking off on an incline and in a small engine,
you need more revs.
And
you're going to have to.
Getting to 80 k's an hour, joining on the highway, pulling away from a stop, and just staying with traffic.
Yes.
Smaller engine is going to work harder. It's when it's ticking over and on the boil that, you know, it is a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go past, let's say, 10-15% throttle, then yes, there is a difference between the big motors and the small motors.
Yeah.
So a little bit of sanity and, you know, just moderation with a big motor, and you can be relatively light on fuel. I mean, I drove and still do drive a 2.5-liter V6, naturally aspirated one. Why? Because only milk and Coke comes in 2 liters.
There we go. And on that note, so all in all, a very, very good vehicle.
Very good vehicle. I mean, it comes in there, like I say, at 437. That's in the manual, but that's the comfort line with the R-Line pack.
Yeah.
Spec to the way we had it, about 500.
Okay.
But that puts it right in the ballpark with the likes of the Hyundai Tucson, Renault Kadjar, Mazda CX-5.
Hyundai Tucson, Sportage. The Sportage.
The new Sportage.
Also
Lawrence was on the launch on
looks
Friday.
Looks like a great vehicle.
Cracking vehicle.
I don't think they'll be as good when it comes to pricing. I think VW is still a bit more expensive.
No,
but
really?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This is putting it right in the ballpark.
Wow.
Cat amongst the pigeons. You can now get a VW for what you'd be spending on a Korean or a Jap or a German.
Sure, that's impressive.
A fellow German. Yeah, it is really, really good. And that's why I say this is a cracking vehicle. I was supporting vehicles like the Tucson and the A4 possibly as being good cars for car of the year.
Yeah.
This one's got my vote.
Flat. Oh, really? Right
and
up there. Huh? I was going to say, it's very, very good.
It is
stonking. One of the horses out in the front, sounds like.
Well, like I say, it's got my vote. I'm not on the jury, so I'm not voting, but...
But I must say, I mean, when you check it in the review mirror, when it comes for you, it tells you...
No, it's a lovely looking car. It's a lovely looking car. So if you can just hold your breath for 1 second.
Talking tech on Auto Central.
Magic. Yeah, there we go. So we're back.
So RS, and I mean, I saw the RS in Ford is Rally Sport. And for the Audis, it's racing sport. Well, what's the difference between racing sport and rally sport?
You know, you're actually catching me out there.
I've seen them. Why? It's the same thing. I mean, it's RS. Racing and rally. Rally is racing, isn't it? I mean, educate me here when it comes to English.
We're not supposed to be talking about that. I'll tell you what, there's a piece of homework for next week.
Sharp
you can explain to all the listeners what that is. Yeah. So just quickly in our tech segment, I just wanted to unpack some, I found an article that I thought was really, really interesting, and it really just touches on some points of what transport of the future might look like and the many shapes that tech will, you know, push us in really, you know, what is transport in 10, 15 years going to look like? And I know we've spoken about autonomous vehicles and self-driving and all that kind of stuff. But what other things do you think are out there, options in terms of transporting humans? How are you going to get to work in 20 years?
Look, I don't think we'll even need to get to work in 20 years. I don't think we'll need to get to work in 20 years. I think we'll probably be working in the evening in 20 years. I've heard of something called Internet of Things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with that kind of technology, we won't need to go to work unless if you
just work from home.
Yeah. Unless we do construction or,
I think the office model
is going to change.
In a big way. In the same way that car dealerships are changing as well. They're now scaling it down to the point where they've only got two or three models, a very small dealership, basically just that final sort of, not even the paper signing side of things, just that final look and feel if you just happen to be, and putting a bit of a presence on the side of the road.
Yeah.
These massive dealerships with massive glass fronts and that is disappearing at a rapid rate of knots.
Sure.
It really is, because you've got so much information thanks to the internet, reviews like our reviews and that sort of thing that are basically giving you a sensation and information on what it's like to drive, what it's like to own, what to expect from it, that you only really just need to go down there and see if it, for lack of a better term, talks to you.
Yeah.
If the vehicle is
the one. Because by then
you would
know exactly what is it that you want.
Well, you've narrowed it down from.
The only thing the internet cannot give you is what it feels like to put your bum in the seat.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's essentially it. Otherwise, all the other information, how it drives, its consumption, what it looks like, how fast it's going to go, where you can hide, all your things. Those secret compartments things. That you were asking about.
I didn't
about.
Say secret.
Oh,
I just said stowaway compartment. I never said secret.
Okay. But anyway, so I think, that's what the internet's going to do. But how's this? A Chinese drone manufacturer, Ehang, sees a future by air. It's 1.5 meter, so 5 foot, long quadcopter on display. They had a show and they had this thing on display. Would you strap yourself into, essentially, well, they've said it's not a drone, but essentially it is a big drone.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be a drone. If there's a passenger in it, it's not a drone. It's an aircraft.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Quadcopter. It's called.
Yeah, so it would be a quadcopter. Yeah.
So it can carry one person in, but it's squeezed into a car parking space.
Yeah.
So it's not a drone. It's an autonomous aerial vehicle. While the company faces a number of regulatory obstacles, it doesn't fit into the drone regulations, and it's not a road vehicle either. So I don't think these guys know what it is yet.
That's the thing. It's a manned aircraft.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a manned aircraft because, I mean, if that's carting you to and from or taking passengers, does it say how many people it can take?
No, one person.
Okay, yeah. So it's essentially like a motor, like a motorbike in essence, a scooter, something of the sorts. It is an aircraft, so you're going to need to abide with.
Yeah, the aerobatic rules.
I'm sorry, it
aviation.
Is. Aviation.
If you're flying that high, what happens if you're not allowed to fly more than 20 meters above the.
No,
you can't fly over houses and over tree lines. You can only follow the road.
Oh, is it?
No, I'm saying
maybe that should be the way to go.
So maybe that's the way to go. Yeah. So you still got to follow the normal roads and the routes and stuff.
Because
like
then
that.
You avoid all those what you call the air what rules? What do you call them?
Aviation. No, listen, that's it.
But then you'll be bumping into those high traffic lights.
That's the thing.
Those overhead information
sites into the side of a bridge. I can only imagine what would happen.
Radio masts, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. You know, a Vodacom tower there. That's the sort of height that you're possibly looking at playing with if you want to stay out of what is essentially the MSA of aircraft, minimum safe altitude.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to fly lower than X over residential areas, over urban centers, that sort of thing. Would you want to squeeze them in between that? There's a reason why they're not allowed to come that low.
Yeah.
Disruption.
I don't know. Exciting
this is
concept,
a whole,
though.
It's a whole massive can of worms. Yeah. I mean, this is a big can of worms that you're opening there that really, really needs to be considered. But I suppose somebody needs to do it.
Well, the thing is, there are people out there thinking about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be able to just get into my garden, hit 30 meters and fly directly to work and then park.
Now, you see, that's what you're saying, directly.
Yeah.
But if I make you follow the roads now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, I'm only going to get there a little bit quicker.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. It's defeating the purpose.
But eventually, you're going to have traffic at 30 meters. That's what's
going to
happen.
The beauty of air is that there's three dimensions to it.
Yes.
And not just two dimensions.
You can go up, down, left, right, and around.
So you don't have to go just left or right or forwards or backwards of somebody. You can go up and down, above or below.
Yes, exactly.
So,
but then a lot of road signs are going to change. Those overhead information ones, the bridges. hey, they're going to be on air collision. So when they bump into each other.
They have to kind of be autonomous. So you'd have to plug in your destination and the thing would have to fly you there, because you're not going to have an air traffic controller trying to control 45,000 of these things in the airspace. So they'll have to, you know, almost work in a, you'd have a bubble around you essentially that would allow you to go up, down, left, right, and not crash. And, but anyway.
And that's the thing. I mean, you're going to need
sounds exciting
air,
though, hey?
You're going to
I
need think air traffic control unless there's an automated way. And with the way that autonomous vehicles are going, I think that that's possible. You could have automated air traffic control.
Yeah, but I mean, even with those automated self-driving trucks and vehicles, you still need a human being to, in case stuff
in
goes
case,
wrong.
Yeah, in case, yeah.
Actually, that in case business never makes me sleep at night.
Anyway, guys, listen, it's been a fantastic show again. Thanks for tuning in. If you download the podcast, thanks for downloading. And, until next week, stay off your phones, please, man.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it.
Can wait.
Yeah. Exactly. That 100%. Can't wait. Guys, it's been absolutely fantastic chatting again, and we'll see you guys next week. CliffCentral.com.